Okay, good morning. This is Richard Hsu from CounselCast, where we interview lawyers who have successfully left the legal profession. And today I have on the line with me, I'm very honored to have such a notable speaker and author with me, New York Times bestseller, Daniel Pink. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Richard, it's great to be here.
Now, tell me, Daniel, just before before I ask you some questions about how you left the legal profession, so to speak, tell me real quickly, how would you describe, you know, what you do and what your area of, you know, writing and speaking is? How would you describe that?
Yeah, I mean, I would describe myself as a writer, and I write books about business and work and organizations. And if you look at my, you know, one way to tell is if you look at my tax form, I think when they ask me about my profession, it says writer. If you ask my kids what I do for a living, they'd say my dad's a writer. So at the center of everything that I do is write.
It's interesting because I guess I was thinking about when I think about you, I think of you at the intersection of business, psychology, and science. You think that's accurate?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what I've been writing about lately, actually, I've only written, you know, I've written 5 books, so it's hard to, like, look for, like, giant trends there. But a lot of what I've written about lately really is right at that intersection of behavioral science and business. That's exactly it. And that's the area that I'm just most interested in is, like, you know, how do human beings – what makes human beings tick? What makes human beings do one thing over another? And how does that play out in the world of work? And the world of work ends up being this incredible place to understand human beings. And I think we lose sight of that. You know, like if there's any theme throughout all the books, they're about work, okay? Why we work, what we do at work, you know, how we can work more effectively. And I think what we sometimes lose sight of is that we spend, you know, half of our waking hours at work. And so it ends up being this incredible lens through which to understand how people behave, what motivates them, what irritates them, what gives them moments of meaning, what gives them moments of despair, how they get along. And so that's actually in some ways a more accurate account of what I'm doing.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, well, speaking of motivation, what motivated you, and I know this is taking you back a few years, what motivated you to go to law school? Let's start with that.
Basically, I grew up in the Midwest to middle-class parents who told me I needed something to fall back on, and I did well in undergraduate so I could get into a good law school. That's basically what it was.
Okay, so there was no – you had no plans on being a lawyer? That was not part of the –
I didn't even know. I didn't even – you know, it's basically it's like, okay, yeah, this is what you do because, you know, And I didn't have a science background. I didn't have or at least a hard science background. I wasn't going to be an engineer. I didn't have that kind of training. I wasn't pre-med. And so I had to kind of pick a profession or professional path that – would give me some kind of economic security. And as someone who is pretty good at, you know, manipulating words, well, why not go to law school? And it seemed sort of interesting at the time, mildly interesting at the time. I was interested in politics, so it had, I guess, some adjacency there. And, but, you know, I never really said, oh, I want to become a lawyer. I'm embarrassed to say, I didn't really even think about it that much. You know, I just said, okay, I'm going to go to law school and then, you know, maybe practice law or go into politics or do something.
Now, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you went to Yale Law School. I was rejected by Yale Law School. You know, Yale is a place where I think of, you know, Supreme Court clerks and so forth. I mean, how did you like, you know, being in that environment? I mean, did you like law school?
Well, I had a longer and winding road. I actually started law school at Columbia, where you went, where I wanted to, and I was contemplating getting a joint degree in law and in journalism, because I knew, because I was very interested in writing, and I wasn't sure I wanted to be a lawyer, and I hated it there, and I left, and then basically rebooted and went to Yale, which I liked better, but you know, not as much. I mean, right. I like it better, but it's like, it's a difference between, you know, the genus and the species. You know, the species, the genus of law school was my problem. It didn't really matter what the species was.
Right.
So, but you know, and I, here's the thing, I didn't hate it at all. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was fairly interesting. I was able to do, one reason I decided to reboot and go there was because I was able to do a lot more. It was a little bit less traditional. I was able to do a lot more interesting stuff. But, I mean, I think in retrospect, I shouldn't have gone in the first place. That was my problem.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever practice as a lawyer?
No.
Did you? Okay. Not even an associate job,
but okay. That's it.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
And
it's weird, you know, because I knew almost from the beginning. I didn't really have any idea what lawyers did before I went to law school. I think a lot of people don't. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that.
I don't think people know what lawyers actually do. And when I finally realized what lawyers do, I said, wow, this is really hard work. You need some sophistication, but I don't find it all that interesting. I don't want to spend my life doing this. So right. I better do something else. And so, you know, and I did a summer associate at a Wall Street law firm, and that was kind of interesting, but not that great. I mean, you made a lot of money, and it was kind of interesting. And at that time, and back in the old days, they'd take you to nice dinners and things like that. And then actually the summer before my third year, I knew that this was not for me. So I actually took a lot less money, which I was nervous about, to go work as a reporter for the city desk of the Washington Post. Washington Post has a summer internship program where, you know, they bring in but mostly college students, other graduate students to go fill in for reporters who are on vacation. And so I did that, which had nothing to do with law, although I ended up writing about, some legal, I ended up like covering a few cases at D.C. Superior Court. I mean, the local, the local court.
Interesting. What did you do when you graduated from law school then? If you didn't take a legal job?
Yeah, well, I was actually one of three people in my law school class who graduated unemployed.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, it was me, a guy who was a good friend of mine who went to become actually a very successful prosecutor near Northern California, and then a third guy who had a pretty bad personality disorder. So those were the only ones who didn't have jobs upon graduation. And what I wanted to do at that time, I was really keenly interested in politics. So I said, I'm going to try to work on political campaigns. And so that's what I did. And I ended up taking working on political campaigns, for very little money, and that just sort of led me down a path of working in politics, which is what I was really interested in that, and in a half-assed way, kind of became a political speechwriter. But there was no like great plan in place, believe me.
So now that you kind of – so looking back now, given where you're at now with your writing and your areas of research, I mean, do you think law school was a waste of time, or do you think that – are you glad you went?
Well, I think somewhere in between those two poles. If I had it to do over again, I don't think I would have gone. Or if I had it to – that's one thing. Who knows? If I had it to do over again, I would have I probably would have been better off being one of those people who goes to law school in his 30s rather than his 20s. Go out and do something else for, not for like a year or two, but go out and do something else for, 7 or 8 or 9 years and then go to law school. I think I would have gotten a lot more out of it that way and would have made a better decision about whether it was right for me. I mean, I think for a lot of people and probably some of the folks you're interviewing in this, for this kind of stuff, law school was the path of least resistance. Again, if you did well in undergraduate, and you weren't really sure what you wanted to do, law school ends up being a path for those kinds of people. And for me, once I got into the belly of the beast, I said, good God, I need to get out of here. But I didn't have the guts just to quit altogether. I had the guts to leave for a little while when I realized I it wasn't for me, but I didn't have the guts to basically say, whoa, you know what? I need to get out of this altogether and do something else.
Right. Well, maybe in your case, maybe law school was good and helped you realize that, law is not for you, right? Maybe it's an expensive way to figure that out.
That's what I learned there. And I met my wife in law school. school, so I'm glad that I went, you know. So, I mean, I had a personal benefit there, but, you know, like it's a you know, 3 years and whoever, you know, 3 years and $50,000 in debt is an expensive way to learn what you don't want to do. There might be other ways to learn that.
Gotcha.
I mean, I might have been, you know, it would have been cheaper for me to go, you know, spend, you know, spend 3 months talking to a young lawyer, a middle-aged lawyer, and a more seasoned lawyer, and seeing what they thought, you know, shadowing them for a month each and seeing what they did and how they enjoyed it.
Right, right.
That would have been a lot cheaper.
Understood, understood. Well, thanks, Daniel. I know, you know, you've written obviously a lot of successful books. What, just tell me before we end this call, just tell me quickly, what is the future for you? What are your next plans?
Well, my immediate plans, I'm going to take a sabbatical for 6 months to work on some new projects. And, you know, I think it's an interesting conversation to have, Richard, because it makes me think that, you know, if I had it to do over again, if I had to press the rewind button, I think there's a very good chance I would have become an academic.
Interesting.
I would have become, you know, a psychologist, you know, not a counseling psychologist, but I would have become a behavioral scientist. You know, I would have become a psychologist or an economist or something like that. I think that would be really cool because, you know, you can, you know, you have, you know, eventually if you do well enough, you have your own lab, you set out your own experiments, you have your own studies, you have really smart people as colleagues who can help you execute things. I think that would have been really, really, I think that would have been really, really cool. And one of the things that I'm thinking about in sabbatical, having written books for almost 20 years now, is, or 15 years at least, is, you know, whether there's a way to create something like that, whether there's a way to do the kind of research that I find so fascinating, but do it using some of the new tools that are available, from a platform that isn't a department at a university.
Right. Interesting. Well, listen, I'm after having heard you speak twice live, and, you know, I love your speaking.
You're still willing to talk to me.
You're a fantastic speaker. I'm really looking forward to what comes out of the tail end of the sabbatical.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to need your advice too to help me figure that out. So, my plan for the sabbatical is to, you know, I have a list of. I'm sitting here in my office in my garage. Refurbishing garage, and I have these giant post-it notes with, I don't know, there may be like 43 now, 44 possible projects, and I'm going to winnow those down and then go around and talk to smart people like you and others and say, okay, what do you think about this project? What do you think about that project? Am I completely insane? Is this a total waste of time? Has someone ever already done it? And that's the way that I'm going to go about doing it.
Very interesting. Well, thanks so much, Daniel, for taking the time to talk to me, and best of luck to you.
Thanks so much for having me on the program. It was fun.